We'll get to our first guest, Randy Minear, on the other side of these words about our great friends at the Salt Creek Golf Retreat.
Golf outing, a weekend golf getaway, or just a round of golf with your buddy, then Salt Creek Golf Retreat is just what you're looking for. Centrally located in Nashville, Indiana, just south of Indianapolis and west of Cincinnati, this challenging but fair 18-hole golf course appeals to all skill levels, and its scenic views of rolling hills and tree-lined fairways are sure to make golfing memories for years to come. Owned and operated by former Purdue and New York Giants fullback Randy Minear, Salt Creek Golf Retreat offers stay-and-play packages that include golf and a fully furnished one- or two-bedroom condo. After your round, be sure to stop by the 19th-hole sports bar and restaurant for great food, fun, and drinks. Randy and his staff will treat you like family. For more information, log on to saltcreekgolf.com. That's saltcreekgolf.com. Or give them a call at 812-558-5944. Salt Creek Golf Retreat. Start making your golfing memories today.
This is Reggie Kelly, former Cincinnati Bengals and Atlanta Falcons tight end, and you're listening to TNT, Thursday Night Tailgate. Brace yourself for the explosion.
Okay, now back in making his 12th appearance with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is a wonderful partner, a great friend, and a guy who means a great deal to us, and that's Randy Minear. Randy is the chairman of the board emeritus of the NFL Alumni Association and the gentleman who got us started partnering with them, like I say, about 10 years ago. Randy played his college ball at Purdue, where he led the Boilermakers in rushing touchdowns in 1964. He was a 20th round draft pick by the New York Giants in 1966, and he played in the NFL from 66 to 1970 with the Giants and the Browns. He spent 30 years as the chairman of the board of the NFL Alumni Association. Back in September of 2015, we inducted Randy into our Thursday Night Tailgate Guest Hall of Fame. And you've heard us bragging about the Salt Creek Golf Retreat over the years, and Randy and his family own and operate it, and they have a fantastic golf course and great lodging there, right there on site in Nashville, Indiana, which is just a little bit outside of Indianapolis. And we're thrilled to have Randy as our first guest to kick off season number 10 here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Randy, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Hey, I'm fine. How are you? And it's great to get a chance to talk to you again. I also am really thrilled on your last segment that you had, which is a positive side, because we need more people like you guys who are willing to talk about the positive side. We get a lot of bad press, and it seems like good things don't sell like negativity does. And I'm so glad you guys are so positive. And again, thank you also for your support of golf, of our golf course. And good to be with you guys. Good to be with you.
You too, buddy.
So, Randy, catch us up. How are things going at the Salt Creek Golf Retreat and for you guys up in Nashville, Indiana?
I'm sitting at my wooden desk knocking like mad on it. Chris, it's absolutely unbelievable. I'm hoping it's not just all COVID, but I think we put a lot of money into the golf course itself. It has become a very, very good golf course. In fact, it's become a great golf course, and that's not from me. That's from our patrons and people who come and play, our family. Let me say this. We don't have patrons. We have family. And we look at our guests as family members, and it's really been doing unbelievable. We've been running. It's incredible. So I'll knock on wood again, and we're hoping it keeps up. But word of mouth has helped us. You guys, obviously, are a major help and a major positive for us. So it's been going really well. And since I retired from coaching, I've been playing a lot more, Chris, so I'm ready for you next time you come up, baby. I'm ready.
I look forward to that.
Hey, well, I did find out last week I was playing and with the ex-head coach of Franklin College over here, Mike Leonard, and I hit one in the short grass, and I had to ask him what that was. And he said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "What is this?" He said, "It's a fairway." I said, "When do we get those?" And, but it gets better, Chris. I can hit the short grass once in a while. And Bob, how are you doing, buddy?
Good for you. Good for you.
I was doing great, man. Thanks, buddy.
Randy, let's talk a little football. Your Boilermakers are 4-3. They got a big win a couple of weeks ago over then number 2, Iowa.
Got an opportunity for a couple more marquee wins with games against number 9 Michigan State and number 5 Ohio State still on their schedule. Talk about your Boilermakers. Is this a team that can make a little noise?
I think they can, Chris, but then they go up against a fine football team in Wisconsin. At home, I think now with great weather, but and we just don't get the job done. I mean, Chris, you cannot in college football, and I don't care what level of college football, you know, or what division, but you can't get yards rushing in a game and win anything. And I don't think we have the quarterbacks right now. Not being negative on these guys, I mean, they're college quarterbacks, so anybody who plays at D1 in college is a good ball player, but I just don't think we have what it takes right now. And I love Coach. Okay. I think he does a good job, but darn it, I just don't like the switching back and forth. Put one guy in and let him roll. But you know, I think we still got some good wins in us, but gosh darn it, you know, to beat the number 2 team in the nation at their place soundly and then get beaten fairly soundly by Wisconsin it kills me. It kills me. But we'll see what goes on.
Randy, speaking of college quarterbacks, and you've talked about this on the show in the past, but you had the opportunity to play with Bob Greasy when he was there at Purdue. Remind our listeners about how good Greasy was.
Greasy was one of the most consistent quarterbacks I've ever played with. A guy who could read the field. He had not great speed, but good enough speed to run the ball when he needed to. But you very seldom saw Greasy throw either a bad ball or throw an interception at the wrong time. He was just a great quarterback. When he first came in, I probably told you that story, but I always kid Greasy about it, but we didn't think he could play quarterback in the Big Ten. And, you know, I always remind him of that whenever I get a chance to speak in front of, Greasy and talk, you know, remember, you can't play quarterback in the Big Ten, son. But he was a superb, superb quarterback. You know, we had drafted my freshman year. We had drafted, the number 1 quarterback in the nation. Supposedly, I won't even mention his name now. I mean, I don't want to be rude, but. And then Greasy came in and after his freshman year, of course, we couldn't play as freshmen. He stayed back in the summer and worked. One of the smartest quarterbacks I've ever known. Like I said, took care of the football, knew what he was doing. He made good calls. And a lot of times Mullenkopf, or DeMoss would let him call plays and, just a great guy to play with and a wonderful gentleman, a truly fine gentleman.
Randy, when you get to the NFL, now you've got an opportunity to play with another great quarterback in Fran Tarkenton. Talk about what it was like playing with him.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I get to play, you know, 3 years with Greasy, a Hall of Famer. And then I get my first year, and a guy I think should be in the Hall of Fame, but is Earl Morrill. Earl Morrill was our quarterback my first year, and then we traded for Tark. And just an incredible quarterback. Obviously, you know, the scrambling man, as they called him then. I mean, he was all over the football field. He'd almost kill you running pass patterns because you had to change your pass pattern and run from one side of the field to the other while he were back there scrambling all over the place. But he could throw, smart, hard worker, and he just had a flair about him that I just love. Confidence. I mean, he wasn't confident. He knew what he was doing. He could direct the team, and wow, to play with a guy like that, another Hall of Famer, was absolutely incredible. I loved it. And as I said, I played with Earl, Morrill, and, you know, Earl took 3 teams to the Super Bowls, if you remember. And, boy, played 23 years. They rated him as the greatest backup quarterback of all time. You know, and that's, you know, one of the things they say about me. I was the greatest bench warmer of all time. But, you know, but Earl, I think. Listen, I will tell you this. While I was down there on the end of the bench by the water bucket, not one was stolen in 5 years. But anyway, I'm not kidding. But playing with, and I always include Earl when I'm talking about it, playing with those guys was the treat of a lifetime. Not a lot of people get to play with the 2 of the greatest of all times and the 3rd who I think is one of the greats, but 2 different, completely different quarterbacks, Greasy, smart, in the pocket, made the right throws, ball was right on the money. And at the time, even as a running fullback, I still caught a lot of passes, but he just knew where to throw the ball and how to get it there. And then your mind with Fran, who ran all over the stinking field, but always ended up getting the ball where you need it. And, you know, for a long time, Fran led the league in rushing. You know, I mean, a yards per carry. That's what it was. Yards per carry. You look who held the record for several of those years back then. It was Fran Tarkenton.
Well, Randy, every time we have you on the show, I just smile because it just takes me back. And I've talked to you in the past about how my dad used to take me to Fairfield University in the
the
late 60s, Randy. And, you know, there was also a pipeline to my local church. Our reverend, our pastor, Father Keating, was very close to New York athletes. The New York athletes of that time knew that he would put on this sports night every year. You know, it was a dinner, and, you know, the ticket prices were very fair, and they would come up to Derby, Connecticut, and the Giants were always there. And guys like, I'm looking at the roster in 67, 68, Ernie Coy, Tucker Fredrickson, Joe Morrison, all those guys that you played with, not only were they, you know, obviously very competitive and good players, but they were very, very, very kind with their time. They would always come up and hear. Just think of a 7 or 8 year old kid like myself looking at these guys and getting their autographs, standing next to them, taking pictures. That was my Super Bowl every year. But just mentioning those guys I did, your backfield mates, Fredrickson, Morrison, Ernie Coy, those guys, again, they were all good players, but all good guys. Comment on your relationship with those guys.
Those guys were absolutely superior. As you said, they were excellent ball players. I think Tucker Fredrickson probably, without that knee injury his second year, you know, he was all pro his first year, would have gone, I think he had a shot at possibly being a Hall of Famer one day. But of course, injuries, you know, they hurt us all. But Tucker, Ernie, and Morrison especially, and then I started doing a lot of public speaking for the Giants, and I got that from those guys because they always were willing to give their time to communities, to charitable organizations, to the fans. They realized that the fans were you know, gave us salaries and paid our way. You know, I mean, without fans, you don't have anything. And I think a lot of guys today forget that. But, you know, and I also think that came a lot from Wellington Mara. You guys knew Wellington Mara, or you know of him. Just a tremendous man. But my backfield mates were just phenomenal. I mean, I loved it. I played with, you know, behind Tucker. And then when Tucker got hurt, I came in and played with Ernie and a lot with Joe Morrison, who could play everything. You know, he played quarterback a couple of games.
Yeah.
And, phenomenal. And then he went down to South Carolina. Remember the man in black and coached South Carolina.
Yeah.
And that's where I believe he was coaching when he had his heart attack. And, but just great people. But I think one of the things with the Giants, and I said, I think it comes from Wellington and that is that they were, at that time especially, always willing to give to the fans, and they realized it. I mean, and it's a great feeling when you come, you know, walking off the practice field up to the locker room, you know, after practices and things, and kids are out there asking for your autograph. Why can't we, why wouldn't we want to take the time to make a kid feel good? And hey, that might be a future Hall of Famer. We're signing somebody's autograph. So I think that they taught me a lot, and I tried to pass that on as I got a little bit older in the league, or, you know, but they're just tremendous players and great ball players. I said, Fredrickson was, and Ernie, about as good and solid a fullback as you ever want, ran the ball, blocked well, punted for us, and Morrison could do it all. but they were great people.
And Randy, how about just the experience of playing in Yankee Stadium? You know, not only are we talking about, you know, the greatest baseball players of all time that came through those dugouts and everything, but you're talking guys like Kyle Rowe, Frank Gifford, that were on that same field, but just being in that building on a Sunday, what was that like with a ton of people in the stands?
Absolutely incredible. I got a thrill, even though I was there for 4 years, every time I walked, you know, from our locker room, which we shared with the Yankees, and I walked down that wooden ramp into the dugout, and you look around and you think, oh my gosh, you know, Gary, Mantle, Ruth, and these are the guys that sat there. And then you hit that field. It was like nothing else that I've ever experienced. And what a thrill. And back then they had Monument, what they call it? Monument Alley, no Monument, something. But it was
right
in the outfield. It wasn't behind the fence, you know, yeah. But it was a thrill. And I don't think there's anything like the old Yankee Stadium. There just isn't. I don't know, maybe Wrigley Field is, I don't even know if that's still open or if they still play there, but it was a thrill of a lifetime to play in that. I know my dad came up to visit one time and I brought him a locker room, introduced him to all the guys, and he and Fran got to be pretty good friends, and they talked a lot, and Ernie, and he said Tucker and the guys, and Cat Cabbage, and, you know, all of them. And then he was gone, and I couldn't figure out where he was, but I had to get out of the field of practice, and I came down the ramp, and I looked over, and there he was, dead still, just sitting on the Yankee bench. And he said it may have been the thrill of a life.
Wow.
And he said, I think about all these guys, and it was something else.
Randy, just a couple of more before we let you go. And I'm interested in an interesting story about another one of your fellow Boilermakers that you had on that team that was a first-round draft pick, and that's quarterback Mike Phipps. He has a pretty interesting history. He led Purdue to 3 straight wins over Notre Dame, including when Notre Dame was number one in the country. The Browns traded future Hall of Famer Paul Warfield to the Dolphins for their first-round pick, and they used that to get Phipps. And then they traded Phipps, who really didn't do that much, for a first-round pick, and that the Browns turned into Ozzie Newsome. Talk about what you remember about Phipps.
Mike, at the time, my running mate, Gordon Teeter, who was our halfback and I was a fullback, we were the first two guys they ever allowed to have kids on campus, you know, where the recruit would come in on Friday, and we'd have him till Sunday. We had to have him back over. And so Gordy and I recruited Mike Phipps, and we got to, you know, be pretty good friends. And then Mike came in, as you said, just tremendous quarterback, set all kinds of records. And I don't know what happened when he got to Cleveland. I mean, Nelson was still playing. And, you know, when I was traded there, Mike was in his second year, I think. But he didn't continue to grow like I thought he would. And I don't know whether it was the game was a little different, but I really thought he would go on like Brees and maybe become a Hall of Famer. But a great quarterback, arm, he had a rocket for an arm. And, I haven't seen him I'll tell you something funny. Chris, you asked about this. He called me yesterday. I missed his call, but he left me a message, so I got to call him back. But I hadn't seen or talked to him for years, and he called me out of the blue. I don't know how I was doing or anything. So great friend, great quarterback. Long line of great quarterbacks at Purdue. Quarterback you, as they called us back then.
Right.
Notice how it wasn't fullback you, it was quarterback you. But anyway.
Randy, one of the many reasons we're so proud to work with you over the years and the NFL Alumni Association is the great work that you guys do with the Player Care Foundation. Take care of the guys who really need help in a variety of different ways. Remind our listeners what the Player Care Foundation does.
Many years ago, I think it was 73, myself and our president at the time, we rejuvenated what was called the Dire Need Fund. Didn't like that name, so we changed it. And then we merged into a league. Harold Henderson, who is still, I think, the president of the Player Care Foundation, started the Player Care Foundation. And we get monies, we raise monies. I'm not on the board any longer, but I was one of the founding members along with, you mentioned Ozzie Newsome, myself, Willie Lanier, were the three founding ex-players that founded the Player Care Foundation. But they do phenomenal work. Everything from operations, they have special hospitals for our guys to go to. If they're indigent and they're down on their luck, we will step in and help them get through the period. We have counseling for them. We have job referral system for them. It has grown into an absolutely tremendous organization, Player Care Foundation. And any of the guys that might be listening, if they're having some problems, call the Player Care Foundation. That's what they're there for. And they're always willing to help those who need some help. And we all hit some tough times. And I'm so very, very proud of the Player Care Foundation because, you know, we for years in the NFL alumni, when we were formed in 67, our motto was caring for kids. And we gave away millions and millions of dollars to kids' charities in the in the areas where each of the chapters were with golf outings and things. But then we changed it to caring for kids and caring for our own. And that is the essence of the Player Care Foundation, caring for our own. And, you know, when guys are down in their luck or just have a little problem, the Player Care Foundation will step up and help our guys. You know, we're not a Social Security operation where it's for life or anything, but we'll help guys get out of trouble. We'll help get them operations they need it. We can pay for part of the operations. We have knees, the hips, shoulders. I think we have wrists now. Special hospitals that do that kind of work, and it's been great for the guys. And I know a lot of guys. And another thing, you guys, is it's no names. Okay. Never publicized. Names are never mentioned. You know, I when I was on it, I, certain amounts of money the you know, our staff could do it, and another certain amount of money, I had to okay it, myself and another guy. And I always said, I don't want a name. I don't need to know the name. Let's talk about the problems and what he needs and how we can help. So, nobody should be ashamed to call, but I thank you for asking about that, because that's part of what I think people don't realize the league does, is take care of their own. And I'm very proud of it. The owners have been tremendous with us. Wellington Mara was one of the guys that stepped up. Art Rooney, they helped us form this and get it going. Cleveland's old owner, Art Modell, he was involved in it. Jerry Richardson was involved in it. And even Mr. Jones down in Dallas. These are the kind of people that were, that'll help our guys. And I'm very proud of the Player Care Foundation. So what you guys do for the ex-players, and I've said it every time, I'm going to say it again, you don't know how much it means to our guys to get a chance to come on the finest, I think, sports talk radio show in the business and get a chance to chat with people like you two that know sports so well and care about sports. And your support of the alumni and the guys has been beyond belief. And I said, and congrats on the first on the tee.
Thank you.
Which is tremendous also. And I think you guys are the best sports talk show in the business. And I'm always thrilled to be on with you and get a chance to chat with you. So anyway, I'm talking too much.
I'll keep talking. Randy, we like to hear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great stuff.
Randy, we can't thank you enough for your wonderful support. You're so great. And we're honored to have you as a member of our Guest Hall of Fame and back on the show again tonight. You're fantastic, my friend. Thank you for coming back.
Oh, pal, thank you. What an honor it is to be a member of the Thursday Night Tailgate Sports Hall of Fame. I'm thrilled with that. My bat's just right up here, and it's something I will never forget, your kindness to me. And guys, thank you for what you do for all the retired players. Thank you what you do to keep our stories alive. And thank you for always looking at the positive side of what we do. And as you said, we got a lot of guys, the majority of the guys who are very community oriented, charity oriented. And it's wonderful to have backers like you two, and you two are the best in the business.
We appreciate you, Randy. Stay safe, my friend. All the best to you and your family. We look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Be well, Randy.
I hope so. Both you guys come down. Up, let's see. It would be up for one and down for the other, right? Come over and play golf. Spend some time with us. You're going to love the golf course. It's really made some great strides.
Appreciate
Looking
it.
Forward to it. Take care, Randy. I'll Stay safe, nice. My friend.
Good night.
Hey, guys, take good care. The best of luck on your shows. Love it.
Thank you, Randy.
Bye-bye.
See you soon.
Okay, guys.
That was the great Randy Manier.